Hey guys, this is Chelsea Brown and welcome back to Time Traveler. I return lost heirlooms to families, and in this podcast, I'll be sharing all of my juiciest returns and the stories behind them, deep diving into the scandal and drama behind genealogy,
giving a historical point of view on trending topics and pop culture.
But most importantly, I'm using these heirlooms to travel back in time
to connect us with real, raw moments in history.
Hey guys. Today, we are going to discuss the genealogy world, the family history world, and what goes on behind the scenes. You know the drama that happens in mom groups on Facebook? The genealogy world is a bit similar to that. No, but seriously, there is drama in this world, and no one really talks about it because, of course, there's more moms and mom Facebook groups than there are family historians and genealogy groups. But let me explain what happens. This mostly happens with genealogy enthusiasts, but people can get really, really competitive about not only finding their own ancestors, but other people's as well. And people like these genealogy enthusiasts will stop at absolutely nothing to be the first to uncover a new piece of information. For example, genealogy hobbyists join multiple genealogy groups to help people with their family trees. People will join these groups to get basically free genealogy help, which is actually totally fine. Like, I support that too. If you're just looking for help and you really don't have the budget to hire an actual genealogist to help you. Now, enthusiasts in these groups can be known to hoard records, spread misinformation, especially in public family trees. That is a big one. For example, on genealogy websites where you can change information in public family trees, enthusiasts spread misinformation on these trees and add in like the wrong documents and the wrong dates. And even steal research from other people. I mean, I don't know if cutthroat is the right term, but I'm going to use it. Like, this world can get pretty cutthroat. And this is partially why I actually like to keep my family trees private on genealogy databases. So if you are working on your own family tree, I highly suggest you keep yours private. Do it. It can save you so much stress in the long run. But also, some people just don't want to know certain aspects about their family history. So, for example, if you take a DNA test and you find out that your grandparent isn't who you thought it was, and you find new family on a genealogy database and then find them on social media, deliver the news to them, they might not actually be looking for that information. Right? Like, you're telling them that their family isn't who they thought it was. And there's a lot of psychological trauma that can go behind revealing something like that to someone who is not ready or expecting that information. The same idea goes with predispositions for certain diseases. I know there are certain DNA tests that you can take that will tell you whether you're predispositioned for certain diseases or have certain genes. And again, there's a lot of trauma that goes on behind this, and it can create tension within families. Also, in these genealogy hobbyist groups, these enthusiasts will also fight over whether or not to reach out to the family with this information. Very similar to what happens in my comments on my TikTok, right? When I'm torn between whether or not to return an artifact to a family, which again, I have to say, 99% of the time, I will always return an artifact to a family after I found that artifact. But there are some items where I question whether it is the right decision to return it to a family because I know it reveals traumatic information or reveals information that the family is probably not asking for, right? So very similar to what goes on my social media goes on in these groups. Now, I'm not saying these groups are bad, by the way. I want to backtrack for a second. I think if you are a hobbyist and you truly, just love the genealogy hobby and you love being a family historian, you've already researched your own family history, right? And you like love the thrill of the chase, right? You love just being able to help people and help people with their own family history. I think that's fantastic. And I think if you're utilizing those groups for the right reasons, that is amazing. Even I'm a family historian and I still utilize those groups. I'm not trying to say these groups are bad. What I'm trying to say is there are bad apples in these groups. And these bad apples start this drama. I don't think I've ever been in any genealogy group that hasn't had drama. Now, I think any Facebook group that you join probably has similar chaos and drama going behind it too, like similar to the mom groups on Facebook, like the Upper East Side moms, the Upper West Side moms, the Nashville moms. Like I'm sure there's a mom group in every city and town you can think of. But what I'm trying to say is when it comes to genealogy, this drama can actually be really hurtful in the long run and can be almost dangerous. And again, like if you've been following me for a while, you know my take on this. If a family isn't actively looking for this information, entering someone's life unexpectedly and telling them their parent isn't who they thought it was, that's going to cause lifelong trauma. So NPE, non-parent expected, is a real thing. Look it up. And again, it would be so different if these families were hiring out to find this information, but coming into someone's life unexpectedly and dropping a bombshell on them is not okay. And that's sometimes what happens in these genealogy groups, right? People will do someone's family history and then discover something about someone else and then reach out to them on Facebook with this information. And then it causes, I think if you're joining these groups, right, and you are a family historian, you are a genealogy hobbyist that just absolutely loves the passion of genealogy, wants to help other people, or you're personally looking for family history help and cannot afford to hire a genealogist, these groups are for you. Just be careful because there are bad apples in this group, in these groups. There are also some people that just don't have anything better to do with their time. So, for example, there are websites where you can post your family tree publicly, but anyone can go in and change any information in that tree. And there are people that have nothing better to do with their time than purposely go into your tree and change birth dates, change information, knowing that you won't notice, which down the line, that's going to be super hurtful for your potential descendants who are going to use that public family tree one day to learn about their own family history. Again, this is why I suggest if you do have your family tree on any website, definitely keep it private. And we will be back in a moment after this quick sponsorship from one of my favorite companies I use and love. This episode is sponsored by WorldCat.org. On WorldCat.org, you can connect to more than 10,000 libraries worldwide and access billions of free resources, books, ebooks, magazines, movies, and more. As an avid reader, history buff, and genealogist, WorldCat.org is my go-to site for uncovering any mystery. I love having access to a digital library like this with millions of unique resources. Become your own investigator and start your search on WorldCat.org today. So another reason why these groups or the bad apples in these groups can be so controversial is that it often involves uncovering uncomfortable truths about our ancestors. And when you're utilizing public groups and forums to help uncover your family history, your heritage, these things can get pretty heated. Oh my goodness. And people argue. Like sometimes you'll find posts where people are arguing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments under your posts. Actually, I just saw this the other day. Someone posted in one of the genealogy groups. Yes, it was a screenshot of a family tree. So she posted the screenshot of her family tree And she was basically saying how her mom is Spanish and father is this. And then there were so many people arguing in the parents being like, you're wrong. Your mom isn't Spanish. Because what they were doing is they were taking the information from the family tree and then researching on genealogy databases. She wasn't even asking about whether or not her mom was Spanish. Like, that's it. She wasn't. She was asking about something else. And of course, she's like, one of the comments she posted, she was like, I thought this was going to be helpful. And now I'm sitting here like hysterically crying. So be careful about what you post in these groups and the questions that you ask. There are pros and cons to everything. And there are pros and cons to these groups. Now, again, I am part of these groups. I utilize them. But again, you just have to be careful. By the way, going back on the controversy surrounding these groups and finding out uncomfortable truths, I mean, I've also seen times where people will find out that their great-grandfather was a slave owner. But one time I saw someone found out that their grandfather committed a murder. And when something like that is revealed in a public forum, like a Facebook group, I mean, this isn't right by any means, but trolls can try and destroy you online and blame you for your ancestors' mistakes. I see this constantly, especially when it comes to people finding out in these groups that their ancestors were not great people. Trolls will enter these groups and destroy you for it. But I truly believe you are not your ancestors, right? In some ways, you carry your ancestors with you, right? Especially when it comes to DNA. But you are not your ancestors. You're not their mistakes. You're not them. Like, you cannot be blamed for something your great-great-grandfather did or your great-great-grandmother did. If your great-grandfather murdered someone, that doesn't mean you're going to murder someone. But this is the world of digital media and online, and people are mean. People bully. People are trolls. And there are, again, many times where people will relentlessly come at you because some people truly believe you are your ancestors. And again, this is why I urge people to either privately hire a genealogist if you can, or try and do the research yourself. You can be your own genealogist. In fact, one of the places you can research your own family history and find records is at worldcat.org. And if you follow me on social media, you know I love worldcat.org, especially as a book lover and as a history nerd. Oh my goodness. And their book list feature, I can talk about that for hours. But today we have Kathy King here from WorldCat. Kathy, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, Chelsea. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you today. So yes, I'm Kathy King. I am the product leader responsible for WorldCat.org.
That's amazing. What does that mean? What do you do behind the scenes?
What that means is I'm responsible for creating the strategy, the vision, working with our development team to figure out what goes into WorldCat.org, what features we launch. We actually just relaunched the site last year, completely reimagined it, made it mobile friendly, kind of brought it into this decade, if you will. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Kathy and I were talking the other day and I was telling her that when you think about a library resource, when you think about a website that connects you with thousands of libraries all over the world, your first thought isn't, oh my God, this is going to be such a modern website. But when you go to WorldCat, it feels so modern, so chic, I think is the right word. Navigation is so easy. I fell in love with it. I think my favorite part of the website also, if you're a book lover like me, are the book lists. We'll get into that in a little bit. But I just absolutely love it. I'm so thankful to be connected with this brand, and Kathy is just awesome. But now I want to get into something a little bit juicy, which is library memberships, because, you know, we do live in this digital age where people are reading on their tablets. But Kathy, why is it so important to still have library memberships now and to borrow books from libraries?
Oh, it's such a good question. Yeah, it's so important, like you said, to support libraries. And thank you, by the way, for the compliments on the site. That means so much. Thank you.
I love it. It's super modern. If anyone goes to it, they're going to be like, this does not feel like what it should be. I mean, it's so elegant and elevated. I could talk about it for hours.
But
a big part of WorldCat is the fact that not only can you discover new books and make your book lists and discover genealogy resources, if you are someone who loves family history or loves genealogy, you're your own family historian. But a big part about WorldCat is that you look up any book, any resource, not just books, and WorldCat will instantly tell you where within your radius can you find that asset available to borrow. And I think that is absolutely incredible. So, Kathy, before I interrupt you again, tell me why it is so important to still have library memberships and to still have libraries.
Oh, there's so many good reasons. So one that comes to mind that might resonate. So if you are a genealogist, and we have a ton of genealogists who come to the site, you can find one of a kind things on WorldCat.org. We have things like family papers, letters, diaries, marriage certificates, death certificates. And libraries are really important in that they have resources to preserve these resources. They digitize them and they make them available to the public. So without libraries, we really wouldn't have a place to have our history stored for these one-of-a-kind items. And the other thing is that comes to mind that we've talked about is around sustainability. So why purchase an item? And of course, not everybody can even afford to purchase every book that they want to read. You can go to a library, you can check it out and save some trees.
Yeah. And I think if you're listening to this podcast, because not for the first time, and you know who I am, I started out as an interior decorator and I still am one, and I'm very big on sustainability, especially when it comes to bringing things into your home. So when we're constantly buying books from the bookstore, new books, like what's the point when you're going to finish that book and probably never read it again? You're going to put it on your bookshelf and then what, right? At least with a library membership, you are, first of all, supporting public libraries. Can you imagine the New York Public Library not being a thing anymore? I mean, you can't. It's like a part of our history, right? Libraries are part of our history. I can't imagine them being gone. But also, you're supporting the people that work there. You're able to read a hard copy book, which I think people have fallen in love with again. But then you're giving it back. You're only borrowing it. You're giving it back and letting someone else read it. You're not overcluttering your home. I mean, there's so many reasons for this.
Right.
We could probably have our own podcast episode just speaking upon the importance of public libraries and why it's so important too.
The other thing I'll just add really quick, they have local programming too. So it's not just about books. You can get GED classes, English as a second language class. Some have yoga classes, that kind of thing. So check out the local programming and see what your library has.
You were mentioning about there's certain assets that only libraries have, and it is true within genealogy. There are certain documents where you actually have to go into a library to review those documents, to review those books, especially when it comes to family history. They do preserve these magnificent documents and these magnificent items and assets that you can use to discover yourself. And I just think, oh my God, that is awesome. And speaking of family history, now how can people use WorldCat.org to research their own family history?
Oh, such a good question. It can really help you solve some pieces of those puzzle, the family history puzzles, connect dots, that sort of thing. So we have tips and tricks on the website. So I will give the URL. I think it'll be in the show notes real quick, and then I'll explain some ways.
Yeah.
So if you go to www.worldcat.org/topics/genealogy, you can find out how to do this. There are some videos, et cetera. Anyway, so some of the ways are you can search for your family name. And I just learned this. If you search your name and then add after that family papers, you'll get some really interesting things. Family papers is a way that librarians coded to say things like, hey, we've got letters, we've got diaries, and you can discover some really unique items for your family. You can.
I didn't even know that.
Person. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't so even cool, know isn't it? That. How did I not know that? Family papers, you're saying? By the way, the link.
So put your last name, family papers.
The link is going to be in the description, everyone, in the WorldCat. I hyperlinked it. That is so cool. Family papers. I'm going to have to do that. And, you know, this actually leads me to my next question. That is such a unique feature that only WorldCat.org has. What else does WorldCat have that is so unique and differs, makes WorldCat just the most unique resource for any book lover or any historian or family historian or really anyone who seriously, worldcats.org is not just for book lovers. It is for, you love genealogy, you love family history, use worldcat.org. Again, you love reading any type of book, mystery, fiction, romance novels, worldcat.org. Are you a little bit of a history nerd like me? Sorry, not little, big history nerd. WorldCat, do you know how many resources I found on worldcat.org that took me down rabbit holes? Like things about King Henry VIII that I didn't even know. Oh my goodness. Sorry to interrupt you again.
No.
What makes worldcat.org so unique?
Yeah. So Chelsea, I love how passionate you are about the site. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
So you were actually talking about it a little bit earlier. I searched for my maiden name, Warnock Family Papers, the family papers again, and I found some poetry in an Indianapolis library. And so what makes us unique is that I didn't have to know that they existed in this little Indianapolis library. We bring all libraries together. So you can search across 10,000 libraries without having to know exactly where it is. Can you imagine trying to poke around in all of the libraries in the US to find, like, okay, Brown family history. No, we pull it all together into one place. And we hopefully help you discover something that you didn't know about.
That is so cool. That is so, I just love that. And again, I want to reiterate that worldcat.org does not just pull in, it's not just books. Like this is every type of record you could possibly think of, not just books. So important for me to reiterate. By the way, you're probably wondering, like, this website can't be free, but it is. So Kathy, can you explain how is this free? Like, you're giving everyone this like amazing tool.
Yeah, that's such a good question. So it is free and you can create a free account and you can do things like create lists like Chelsea was talking about. And we have other features coming out that you can access when you create an account. So yeah, it's free. So I work for a company called OCLC. We're a nonprofit. We support libraries and their mission. And we had this great database that libraries use, that public libraries, academic libraries, and we decided to make it freely searchable by the public because of what you're saying. It just adds so much value. It drives more people to libraries and that's kind of good for everybody.
You know what I love about that? I think if you follow me on my, any social media platform, TikTok, Instagram, you know, I don't partner with very many companies. Like I really don't. If I do partner with a company, it's always long-term because I'm always partnering with someone that I've already used before religiously. And I think this is a tool that, I mean, it's indescribable that it's free. It still shocks me to this day because I do use it every day, not just for genealogy research, but also for those book lists. Oh my goodness, people. If you love books, like not only can you make a, for example, you can make a book list yourself of all of your favorite fiction books, of books that you want to potentially read. And then what's great is I love stalking other people's book lists on WorldCat because then I can discover new books that I didn't even know about. I mean, it's really a fantastic resource. And the fact that I don't actually need to go to the New York Public Library's website to see if my book is available, it literally just says that on the website. It's incredible that this resource is free. And I know, especially the first few times that I spoke about WorldCat on my Instagram, I got so many messages from people being like, I don't need to pay for this. This is like insanity. People are always shocked when they learn they don't have to pay anything for this resource. And I just think it's really just so incredible. I think you already spoke upon this, but do you have any other stories that you can share about how WorldCat is so great for genealogy? I know you shared your own little story about the poetry, which I think is so cool.
Yeah, I do have another story. So my uncle is super into genealogy and I have three greats, great-great-great-great-grandfather that came over from Ireland and he needed money. So what we hypothesized was that he was paid to be in the American Civil War. What we needed to do was track down some Civil War records. And he thought he found a book that was going to tell us if that was true or not, if he was paid money to essentially represent someone else in the war. And I was able to use WorldCat to find this book and then also find that it was digitized. So we have military records. In many cases, they're digitized. And of course, I searched for my great-great-grandfather's name. And there it was, that he was representing somebody else in the war so that he could have money straight from Ireland as an immigrant. So that was pretty cool.
That's incredible. And for anyone who's into family history or genealogy, having these records available for free, sorry, I keep going back to this free thing, but it is true that with other platforms, you have to pay for the platforms, which again, like there's pros and cons, right? But the fact that you can gain access to military records without paying for that, a lot of family historians don't know you can do that. A lot of family historians think that you need to pay for access to a genealogy website to get access to these records. As a family historian, there is no such thing as using only one website. Like to research your family history, you're going to have to do a lot of things. Like there is no one quick, easy method. But what I can tell you is that you have to have WorldCat.org bookmarked if you are doing anything, if you are researching your own family history, you're researching someone else's family history. Also, WorldCat.org is a great place to start and figure out what records can you gain access to on your own. It's almost like a good base. And then from there, you can get deeper and deeper and deeper into your genealogy research. And also, I don't think I've told you this, but my dad thinks it's incredible too. He didn't even know this resource existed until I told him about it. And now, actually, funny enough, just texted him about type in family papers when you're researching on WorldCat, because you never know what you're going to be able to find. I mean, that's incredible that like, and you said, right, librarians would code it as family papers. That's incredible. One of my last few questions for you is specifically for genealogy and family history, right? Like if you're a newbie, give me all of the resources you have and that you can find on WorldCat when you want to research your own family history.
Yeah, I love the way you put that too, because so many things are freely available through libraries and we just expose them. So I have a long list of things. I'll name a few. So we've got cemetery and burial records, Civil War and other military records. I mentioned that. There's records of family Bibles, church histories, general genealogical resources, directories, handbooks, magazines, etc. You've got indexes or indices of births, marriages, deaths, wills, and obituaries, many newspapers. We've got photographs. We've got digital photographs that you can take a look at. There are town histories. I grew up in a little town, like 5,000 people, and I searched for my town name and I found a lot of really interesting things on there. So this list that I just said, it's on worldcat.org. You can look into it further if you go to that topic page, but we'll link to.
Yeah. And that link is going to be in the description. And for the people who are listening, because I do have some podcast listeners who aren't, you know, they love my spiels about genealogy drama. They love the drama that goes behind the genealogy, right? They don't actually research their own family history. So I'm saying like, even if you're not researching your own family history, use WorldCat. Like what I was saying before, if you are a history nerd, just type in King Henry VIII. You will find thousands of the most insane books, articles, the coolest resources. I mean, you're going to learn so much just being an hour on the site, like looking through, especially WorldCat.org has so many free access records where you don't even need to log on to, you don't even need to leave the website to get access to all of these free records. It's absolutely fantastic. And especially if there are college students listening to this podcast now, mm-hmm. also bookmark the website. Seriously.
Yes. So we actually just implemented a feature for college students. If you create an account and you favorite your library, let's say you go to OSU, Ohio State Library, right down the road, then we will surface to you all of the resources that your library makes available kind of right there on the platform. So you can see everything that your library has access to, all the digital things, and then of course the world libraries as well. So it's even better if you're a student.
See, I didn't even know that. I'm so glad I brought up the college student thing because I was thinking, oh, maybe college students listen to me. I don't know. But yeah. No, I just think worldcat.org is a platform you have to have bookmarked. Worldcat.org is, I think it's a step in this direction of getting people back into reading hard copy books. If you don't know already, I am starting a virtual book club with WorldCat. It's completely free. There are already so many people in the group, in the club. We're already having so much fun. We haven't started our first book yet. So if you want to join in on the action and you want to join in on the fun, DM me on Instagram and I will send you a link to our group. I'll also be posting it in my stories continuously. But Kathy, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Chelsea. It was great to talk to you again.
So that is all for today. Make sure to follow me at City Chic Decor on Instagram and Chelsea I. Brown on TikTok for more history, heirloom returns, and family mysteries. And tune into the next episode because you are not going to want to miss it.